Live. Your story matters. ABSA.
Good afternoon. The headlines. President Hichilema positive about new opportunities in shifting U.S. policy under Trump. Concord postpones judgment on sexual offenses against order of nature. And in global news, anger after sharp rise in death toll from Kenya's anti-government protests. With a 13-hour main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Paddy Mugando. President Hakainde Hichilema has expressed optimism about finding opportunities in the changing landscape of United States of America policy under President Donald Trump. Despite concerns over the U.S. pulling back aid globally, President Hichilema believes Zambia can benefit from this shift by focusing on growth and job creation. Speaking when he held a meeting with U.S. Ambassador to Zambia, Michael Gonzalez, at State House this morning, the head of state said Zambia wants to take advantage of the changes and not see them as problems. The president emphasized Zambia's primary responsibility to do what is right for its people, just as President Trump is doing for Americans. He highlighted the need for convergence between the new U.S. administration's priorities and Zambia's desire for economic growth. During the meeting, President Hichilema also outlined four key areas for partnership with the United States, including mobilizing capital, fairly priced capital, investments, and trade, emphasizing the importance of finding common ground and working together to achieve mutual benefits.
President Trump is calling back aid, not to Zambia only. He's calling back to aid across the world. It's painful. It's decided. One always wishes that they would have been given an opportunity to assess. But he's doing the right thing for the people of America, who elected him into office. It's our job to do what is right for the people of Zambia, who elected him into office. It's our primary responsibility. So as we respond to the call back on aid, painful, yes, arrogance, yes, but for us to say, let's flip the coin. What is it that we can do with a new approach from America? And that's why we want today to talk about heavy things. So we don't want to mourn Ambassador Gonzalez, because we want to say the coin has two sides. What is it that we can do to find convergence between the new trust in Americans and the President Trump and our own desire to grow the economy?
And U.S. Ambassador to Zambia, Michael Gonzalez, noted that the U.S.-Zambia bilateral relationship has underperformed its potential despite significant development assistance from his country. Ambassador Gonzalez has stressed the need for tangible actions and benefits for both countries and their people, and has expressed his commitment to supporting Zambia in seizing the moment and turning the relationship into one that delivers more boldly for both nations.
As we've seen in recent months, policy actions are in Washington are moving very, very quickly, as well as announcements. I am committed, as is my team, to support Zambia in efforts to seize the moment, to act now, to really turn this relationship to one that delivers much more tangibly, much more boldly for both of our countries. This is not about a desire to engage at any cost. It's not about non-disclosure agreements. It's not about heavy debt that has very little to lasting to show for it. Certainly not about polluting the environment or exploiting labor. It's about transparent and accountable business and commerce that benefits both countries.
The Constitutional Court has postponed the judgment on the constitutionality of sexual offenses against the order of nature, initially set for the 10th of July 2025. The court has cited that it is not yet ready to deliver the judgment and will announce a new date soon. This case, brought forth by the Zambian Civil Liberties Union, challenges Section 155AC of the Penal Code, arguing that the offense is too vague and contradicts Article 18 14 8 of the Constitution of Zambia, which requires that all criminal offenses be defined. Meanwhile, the court is set to hear and schedule a case on how constitutional amendments should be conducted following a lawsuit by Zambian Civil Liberties Union Executive Director Isaac Mwanza. Mr. Mwanza alleges the previous judgment of the court requiring wide consultations before preparing a bill to amend the constitution was made per incurium, citing provisions of the constitution, standing orders, and the Inquiries Act. The Global System for Mobile Communications Association, GSMA, has revealed that nearly two-thirds of Africa's population remains disconnected from the global internet, highlighting the urgent need for African countries to collaborate and close this digital gap. Speaking at a capacity-building workshop for parliamentarians on artificial intelligence, data protection, and privacy, in Lusaka this morning, GSMA Senior Director for Regional Social and Policy Research, Kenechi Okeleke, has emphasized that the digital usage gap is one of the continent's biggest challenges. He has indicated that closing this gap could contribute an additional $700 million to Africa's gross domestic product, GDP, between 2024 and 2030. Mr. Okeleke also noted that over 150 million Africans already use mobile devices to access educational resources, underscoring the critical importance of investing in connectivity to support online learning and other digital initiatives.
So while the transformation of social and economic life across Africa is well established, the digital divide still exists. Around the continent, about two-thirds of the population across the entire Africa is not yet connected to the mobile device. And we all know that mobile connectivity is very crucial for social and economic transformation. So Africa has the highest usage gap. What we define as the usage gap? The usage gap means those who are covered by mobile internet technology, whether that's 3G, 4G, or 5G.
At the same event, African Population and Health Research Center Director of Programs Synergy, Anthony Mbeyange, says the workshop is important for African parliamentarians as it will ensure that the continent's digital transformation efforts are based on solid evidence and expert insights.
So we spend time also trying ways to reach out to policymakers. You being in the room with us for these 3 days is really speaking to that spirit of us connecting with you, because the evidence that we generate is finding its way to where it must go. And you are at the heart of that. You're the policy, you're the legislature. So one of our members, I want to say again, thank you for honoring to be here with us.
Meanwhile, Pan-African Parliament Committee on Transport, Communication and Energy member Newton Samakai, who is also a Mwinilunga Member of Parliament, expressed confidence that the workshop would lead to the development of effective strategies to help Zambia expand its mobile broadband network. A security officer at Armed Safety Security Company has been murdered by unknown criminals and robbed of his unregistered motorbike valued at 30,000 kwacha in Katete District of the Eastern Province. Eastern Province Police Commissioner Robertson Mwemba says the deceased, identified as Aaron Zulu, age 34, was reportedly traveling from Katete to Chadiza on the 7th of July 2025 to visit relatives when the incident occurred. Mr. Mwemba has said in a statement that the deceased left Katete around 19 hours but never reached his destination, prompting his relatives to start searching for him after his mobile phone was unreachable. He says the body was later discovered in a field near Yobe village in Chadiza district with severe injuries, including a deep cut on the forehead, bruised chest and back. Mr. Mwemba says police collected the body and deposited it into Chadiza district mortuary for post-mortem examination, while a docket of case has been opened and investigations are underway. He says no arrests have been made yet. In global news, the number of people killed in Monday's anti-government protests in Kenya has risen to 31, the country's Human Rights Commission said, sparking public outrage and calls for justice. The state-run commission previously said that 11 people had died, more than 100 people were injured, and about 532 arrested in the protests which hit the capital, Nairobi, and other major cities, said the Kenyan